weeks ago, I started a message about sandals and Moses at the burning bush, about the story of Moses and when he is now in the desert. He is shepherding Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian sheep. And then God, in his time, gives Moses an invitation. And that invitation is in the form of a bush that is burning. And Moses says, I will turn aside and I will check this out. And so God, who is a wonderful father, who knows when we're ready to embark on new ways of thinking, right, Trace? When he knows that we're ready to see something differently or in a way that he would give us his eyes, he invites us into this participation. And so Moses sees this burning bush and he turns aside and he goes, sees it, and the first words he hears is, Moses, take off your sandals. The ground that you're on is holy. And so, again, question I ask now, because I've walked with the Lord for 40 years, I would not have asked this question earlier in my walk with the Lord, because my understanding at that time was, Moses, I'm holy, you're not. So you have to take off your sandals so that you not only recognize my holiness, but so that we can interact together, and you have to show me some form or participate in some form of sacrifice or in bowing or taking off your sandals so that we can interact. That God would be setting a pecking order so Moses would know where he stood and who God was. And God is basically inviting Moses into this relationship with him as God self-reveals himself through scripture and through interaction and through relationship. And so I say that to say I wouldn't have asked this question 30 years ago. Why take off your sandals for that reason? But now that I have walked longer with the Lord and I see the Lord, I hate to use the word more clearly because that's not really it, but it because you're in relationship, deeper relationship with God, and you're beginning to understand what Tammy and Tracy were saying and trying to say, is as you begin to grow in love, you begin to see the different motivation, or your motivation changes. And so that motivation for why God would ask Moses to take off his sandals would change in my eyes, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So I asked the question, why? Why would you ask Moses to take off your sandals? His sandals. Like, what's the deal? Now that I know you through the cross, and that you not only don't ask people to take off their sandals as an act of worship, but you will ask people to take off their sandals so you can wash their feet. Yeah? Because you are the self-giving, self-sacrificial one. In Hebrews it says that in times past God has spoken through the prophets, and he spoke to us in many ways, but in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Colossians it says he is the image of the invisible God, the exact radiance of his glory. And so we see, because we can look back now, because we can look through the cross and we can look through the greater revelation of God's self-sacrificial, humble nature, that God doesn't come to be served, but to what? Serve. So this isn't a power play. Right? I don't see Jesus ever saying to anybody, whoa, 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 back up. You don't want to be too close to me. If you touch me like you touch the ark, you might die. I don't see Jesus excluding people or putting up holiness gates so that people, like in the temple, you know, there was the court of the Gentiles, and then there was the place, the holy place where the priests and the Levites could go. You couldn't go, ladies. Sorry. You're gated out. And then the Holy of Holies was for the high priest, right? There's this succession of restriction. But Jesus wasn't like that, was he? As a matter of fact, it says in the scriptures that he was the friend of who? Sinners and tax collectors. Like, you were welcome to come close. So let's compare that now to Moses. Take off your sandals. So it's not an issue of God's holiness and Moses' unholiness, or God's perfection and Moses' imperfection. So as I started to ask that question, I was able to put dots together for myself. If you already knew this, wonderful. If you didn't, you'll learn today, whatever. But it grows, right? So let me give you an example of putting dots together. You know, Trace, when you were just saying about how you're learning to love and you're learning to think differently and you're learning not to fear, and we're learning, and you said this, but it takes a long time. So in your revelation of who God is and your intimacy with him, it takes a long time. Why does it take us a long time? Because it's not about filling our head with information. It's not about filling our head with data about God. It's not about filling our head with scriptures that tell us things. All right? It's not about the taking off of a coat. It's about taking off, feel like skin. It's about relationship. By the way, thank you, teacher, for the last adult Bible study that we had on Israel. Much appreciated. New adult Bible study started today, 9:30. Here's your commercial. Book called The Prophet. It's a series of poetry, and it's an open discussion on that our brother Tim Van Riper is leading. God is inviting us not into a classroom where he's going to give us information. He's inviting us into intimacy of a relationship so that we can get to know him and so that we can know ourselves and we can be known. And so that takes time. You just don't give up anxiety and fear and nervousness overnight. All that is all fear, anxiety, nervousness is a outward expression of the test. It's an outward expression of what's really going on inside you that does not rest in God. And we all have it in different and varying degrees. And so Moses goes to God and God says, take off your sandals. And so I was able to then put that together with other scriptures that we'll look at to put the dots together, that now that I'm 40 years down the road, I can look back and I can go, that makes so much more sense. Kind of like algebra, right? Algebra. What's the whole key to algebra? It's on either side of the equals mark. You got to make that thing work. All right. 8x equals 24. And everybody said 7. Right. You're laughing because I'm wrong. Right. Now, some of you, you're like shaking because you're like the analytical, got to have all your ducks in a row people. Just quit it. Don't say that. 3x equals 24, x equals 7. Oh, it's bothering some of you. 3x equals 24, x equals 1. Okay, like, 7 was better. There's some people who are sitting here who get that. Seven was close. That's good. Right? Seven was good. One, it's like, right? And that's kind of what it's like walking in this relationship with God. We're all heading to varying degrees of 3x equals 24 and x equals 8. And we get that through revelation. And it's not an information of an equation. It is, I just got to know God better. And me knowing God better transforms me. As I behold His beauty, as I behold His character's nature, I'm changed into that very nature. And Christianity and walking with Jesus is not about doing things better. It is about becoming as He is. But keep on doing things better. But anyway, so you connect the dots. Let me tell you a story of connecting the dots. I'm sure all of you can relate to when all of a sudden the light bulb goes on and the dots get connected in varying spheres of your life. And it was like it was in front of you all the time, but you didn't see it. And then all of a sudden you saw it, and it was like it either made you laugh or cry, or it gave you peace. Well, this happened when we were just down in Florida. Me, Jesse, and my sister went down to see my mom. We were there. We left last Sunday, and me and Sue, my sister, flew back in last night. Jesse's staying till Thursday. All right, so while we were down there, here's a story of connecting dots. I just happened to think, man, wouldn't it be awesome if a rocket gets launched off of Cape Canaveral while we're down here? Because from my mother's balcony, Cape Canaveral is about 20 to 25 miles north, and you can look off the balcony, and if you've ever seen a launch at night, it is incredible. Like, you've seen sunsets and you've seen sunrises. This is a manufactured sunrise. It's like all of a sudden this little light burst happens at the bottom of this rocket. You can't see the rocket from 20 miles unless you've got your binoculars, but you see a flash of the ignition and then a plume and then smoke, and then all of a sudden it's daylight 20 miles away, and then that plume of light just begins to rise and starts to light up, and you see the reflection in the ocean and you see it going up in the arc. That it's a beautiful thing to experience. So I was so excited that maybe there'll be a launch, because you got SpaceX launching things now, you got NASA launching things, you got China launching things, you got all kind of things launching. So I got on my phone to see when the next launch was. This is all just me. And sure enough, it was Thursday at 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. And I remember thinking, I am going to set my alarm so that I can get up and watch this. And then I can't remember if I shared that with one of them or all of them, but eventually they're like, oh, well, and Jesse was like, I ain't waking up to go watch a rocket. And Sue was like, maybe I will. My mother's like, I see a rocket. Whatever. Okay. That was like Monday or Tuesday. Thursday eventually comes, and it was Thursday morning, and Sue said, did anybody hear last night the plane that flew over the condo? She said, it sounded like an earthquake. And I'm like, no, I sleep through everything. I didn't hear a thing. Jesse's like, I didn't hear a thing. My mother's next to her, didn't hear a thing. So then she's like, I'm telling you, she said, it shook the whole building. I was like, well, I don't know. She said, maybe we'll find out what it was. But anyway, that was Thursday morning. So I'm all excited. We're here. It's Thursday. The launch is going to take place tonight. And then I just look back on the internet, and I look for, just to confirm that this is going to take place tonight. We've already had conversations, multiple conversations about this. And then I look and it says, the launch is now going to happen at 11 p.m. I thought, oh, well, good. I don't have to wake up in the middle of the morning. And everybody's like, oh, good. We'll all get to see it. And I said, wait a minute. This does not look like the same launch that I saw before. It looks like a different name of a rocket. And then we're looking. There's a NASA station. We try and look up on the NASA station on TV because they always show it. There's no longer a NASA station. We're searching Google. We're searching everything to look what time. There's such confusion. We don't know when this thing's going to be launched. So Sue's on the phone with Dana. At this time, it's about 8, 9 p.m. Launch is either going to happen at 11 p.m. or 2 a.m., not sure which. And Dana says, let me look real quick. And she's like, yeah, it launched. And we're like, what do you mean it launched? It's going to happen Thursday at 2 a.m. That's tonight. And we're like, oh, duh. All four of us, right? It's in front of us the entire time. Three adults and one young man could not put together that Thursday at 2 a.m. is really Wednesday, your Wednesday night sleep. And we laughed about it, how we missed the launch. That was the first dots that were connected. Then all of a sudden, Sue's eyes lit up. And she said, the plane. The plane. It happened exactly at 2 a.m. I remember I opened my eyes and I thought this was an earthquake and there was a plane. The whole building was shaking and I looked over. It was 2 a.m. She goes, it was the rocket. And we're all like, we're idiots. We're all idiots. Literally, we did not put those dots together until all this happened. It was in front of us the whole time. Have you ever experienced that? Something like that? Where you're going through life and then all of a sudden the lights go off and you put it together and you're like, oh, and you laugh at yourself. Well, that's what revelation is in walking with the Lord. There are things before us all the time, but we don't have the capacity yet or the ability to see them. Or we see them and we don't put the dots together to comprehend what it is we will know in the future. And when we know it in the future, it becomes an altar. It becomes a moment of getting to know God better that actually transforms us. So here's Exodus 1 through 3. Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west side of the wilderness, came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So there's already a history here at this mountain. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the midst of a bush. And he looked at it, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Bush, in the Hebrew, same word as tree. So I picture it as a tree, not a bush. Because a tree, and again, a tree in Scripture is much more mentioned throughout the Scriptures. You have the trees in the garden. You have the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. My people were a tree planted by the water. It was a tree, and I believe it was a tree so that Moses would connect it to the trees of the Scripture. But anyway, the tree was burning with fire, and yet it was not consumed. And so Moses was like, wow, let me check this out. I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why this bush is not burned up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, see that? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, why? because Moses could have blown it off. Moses could have not been interested at that time. Moses might have been having a bad day, a bad season, whatever. Moses could have said, I'm not going. I'm not in the mood. I remember this one time, this one season, I was waking up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. for like a month. And I would wake up and it was like those times when God is just so present. And I would either be reading in the Word or He would just be downloading stuff. And after like a month, I don't think I said it out loud, but I actually had the thought, oh Lord, please, can we do this at a different time? And then it stopped. Not because God was angry. He was teaching me something. Moses turned aside. A loving father invites you into participation. He invites you into the opportunity to know Him. That's what this is all about, is getting to know Him. What is eternal life? Don't say heaven. Going to heaven. Don't ever say that again. Jesus answered that question for you. They said, what is eternal life? He said, it's to know the one true God and His Son whom He sent. That is eternal life. And God is the good Father, the good Shepherd, the nature of who He is always inviting into participation, to get to know Him better. Because when you get to know Him better, you are changed. And so Moses turned aside and God called to him from the bush. Moses, he said, here I am. And then He said, don't come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. So here's the issue. Take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. Let me just say about holiness quickly. Because talk about a new way of thinking. Okay. Holiness in my mind was always judicial. It always had to do with that God's holiness talked about His sinlessness as compared to my sin nature. If I could draw the picture, it would be when the man who saw the ark and it was moving, it was about to fall off the cart, and he touched the ark and was dead immediately. Like, that's how I pictured holiness. That God was holy, I'm not, and you have to be careful with it. But as you begin to study and you begin to learn and grow in understanding the word holiness, it's not a judicial statement. It is a ontology statement. In other words, the being of who God is. God is whole, W-H-O-L-E. There is no shadow at His turning. You've heard that scripture. What that means is He's consistent, eternally consistent. God does not have bad days. God does not have an emotional up and down. He's holy. He's fully God all the time, everywhere, at any moment. He's whole. Holiness is about wholeness. It's not judicial in that you are going to stand before a judge and be right, like you haven't done anything wrong. That's not the essence of the fullness of holiness. So God invites Moses to take off his sandals. You're standing on holy ground. So is that logistical ground, the parameters of the longitude and latitude of that ground, is that what this is about? Is the GPS coordinates of what this is about? No. This is about, the place is unique because Moses is about to get to know God better. And because you have these experiences now on the other side of the cross, and you are getting to know God better, you are coming into wholeness, W-H-O, wholeness, every time you have that encounter and behold God in a new way through God connecting the dots, the Holy Spirit connecting the dots for you, leading you to a place where then all of a sudden your heart is enlarged and you now see. This is why Paul in Ephesians, he prays, since we have heard of your faith, we have not ceased to pray for you that the eyes of your heart would be opened. In Colossians, he says the same thing, that we pray for you, since we've heard of you, that you would understand in your inner man, that your inner man would be opened, that God will connect the dots inside you so that you can be transformed. And he said, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did he do with Abraham? He made a covenant. What is God doing by asking Moses to take off your sandals? He's inviting him into a covenant. It has nothing to do with his feet. It has nothing to do with dirty feet. It has nothing to do with logistics. Okay? It has to do with this scripture in Ruth. Now this was the custom, Ruth 4:7. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction or a covenant. One would draw off what? His sandal. And he would give it to the other. And this was the manner of test. So what was happening is God was inviting Moses into a covenant. It had nothing to do with God, stating a pecking order that Moses had to be concerned with his lack of holiness judicially. It had to do with God inviting him and the nation of Israel into a covenant, and ultimately everyone into a covenant. Had nothing to do with that logistical piece of land, but it sure meant a lot to Moses, didn't it? Jacob goes to sleep, and he uses a rock as his pillow, and he has a dream, and he dreams of this ladder, and it goes up into the heavens, and on that ladder, there's angels going up and down, and he wakes up, and he said, what? God was in this place, and I didn't know it. And so he called that place Bethel, the house of God, out in the middle of nowhere. Now, is that where we have to go? No. Was it special to Jacob? Yeah. And what happened at that place? He went to sleep. His name was Jacob. But when he woke up, his name was Israel. So you see, at this place of where you take off your sandals, where God invites you into covenant, what he's doing is he's changing you. He's bringing you into the reality of who you really are. Other example. Simon. I now am calling you Peter. Do you see The Chosen when everybody didn't like that? And his brother Andrew said, do I have to call you Peter too? Right? Why did God change, or when, I should say, when did God change Simon's name to Peter? And why? All right. Jesus says at Caesarea Philippi, he says to his disciples, he says, who do men say that I am? And what was their response? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. On and on and on. He says, but who do you say that I am? That's a good question for us. Who do we say that he is? And that's not a question like, come on, get the right answer. That's a question of God inviting you to say, who do you say that I am? Who am I in your life? Because who I am in your life, I'm going to draw you as a shepherd, and you're going to know me better in a year than you know me now. My name will change, God. My name will change for you as you grow. Your ability to rest in me in genuine sincerity will change as we walk together. Peter, when did his name change? And so he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, you're so smart. What'd he say? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. The other guys didn't get it. Peter got it. Does Peter have anything to boast about? Sure doesn't. Why? Because Father revealed it to him. Who revealed it to him? So why isn't he revealing it to other people? So at that place of revelation, there is transformation. No longer do I call you Simon, but I call you Peter. So the place that you're at right now, if God is good, what does that mean to you in the place that you're at right now? You've heard that 20 times today. God is good. What that means to you in this present season will be different 10 years down the road of what it means for God to be good and what it will mean 20 years down the road as God reveals himself to you and invites you to take off your sandals and walk with him in a covenant that he is fulfilling. When I'll end with this. When I was a little boy, I was 11 years old. I've told you this. I said, I don't know who you are, but you have to take care of me because you're good. When I was 21, I got to know that goodness better because someone told me about Jesus. And then 30 years later, I got to know what that goodness was even broader and bigger. He said, the same way that you knew as an 11-year-old that I was going to take care of you, guess what? I'm going to do that for everybody because Father is the one who reveals that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right. So our prayer, Lord, is the same prayer that Paul writes in Ephesians and Colossians, that our hearts might be opened, that our inner man might gain the revelation of the covenant that you have made with us, that you are fulfilling in us, that the covenant you have really made with yourself, because that's the beauty of the Trinity. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you make a covenant within the Trinity, the triuneness of who you are, and that you, there, since there is no greater name that you can swear upon to fulfill the covenant, you swear upon your own name. And so he who started the good work, the one who gave you the alpha of your walk, the beginning, will also fulfill it and bring it to the omega. Faithful are you, Lord. Faithful to generation after generation after generation. What is man that you are mindful of him? Lord, thank you for this upcoming week. Thank you for the dots you're going to connect. Thank you for what was always before us, but we couldn't see. We will see this week. Thank you for leading us into green pastures. Thank you for leading us into still waters. And that we will say with David, our cup overflows, and surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you.